ustedes y las noches se saben que están en live up to 11 o'clock. Honorable members, before we can proceed, the Chairperson of the committee has apologized. She has been given another assignment to attend today, so she will not be with us in this meeting, but she has proposed that it will be too costly for us to cancel the meeting or postpone it. So she asked that the meeting must, or the committee must proceed as planned. So Fedaba is here in front of us, all of them. Mr. Kozla, welcome with your delegation. Can I then ask the honorable members to assist in terms of, because in terms of rules, if the chair is not around, the committee must appoint, elect one of its members so that we can preside over the meeting so that the business of the committee cannot be cancelled. Can I, members, as quickly as we can get a suggestion from the honorable members? Ma'am, Kalsovita.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I make a proposal that Honorable Adam takes care of the meeting for today? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ma. Ma'am Adam is suggested to preside. Can I have a second, Honorable Member? Okay, thank you, Essie. Ma'am Adams is seconded. Ma'am Adams, can you just come forward and take the chairperson's seat so that you can proceed with the business of the committee for today. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members and the delegation from Fedaba. I would like to thank the honourable members for confidence placed in me. I do appreciate it. Then, honourable members and delegation from Fedaba, I want us to introduce ourselves. I am Patricia Adams. I am a member of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, and I hail from the Northern Cape. The two gentlemen on my left-hand side is Mr. Bhutina. He is a secretary of the committee, and on my right-hand side is Dr. Kuzwayo. He is a content advisor. I'll ask the honorable member to introduce himself, and then the delegation from Fedaba, and then the sports staff. Over to you, honorable Sabina.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I am Tembalam Kaiko. My mother called me Tembalam. I hail all the way from the Eastern Cape, which are specifically. I'm the member of the Committee on Tourism as deployed by the African National Congress. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Manuku Masiela, member of this committee from the property prepared by the African National Congress. Thank you.
Morning, colleagues. My name is James Sport. I'm the DA spokesperson on tourism, and I'm from the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Whitfield. I represent the Democratic Alliance, and I'm from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Etienne Spurgeon, and I'm from the Freedom Party, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you, Honorable Acting Chair. My name is Eddie Koda. I am the chairman of Fedaba. It interests me when you say you're from the Northern Cape. We have a property there. On my left, it is maybe I should allow themselves to do that. I almost introduced them. Thank you.
Good morning to the committee. My name is Clifford Ross. I'm the deputy chair of FedHasa. And during the day, I am the chief executive of the City Lodge Hotel Group.
Morning, everybody. My name is Rocky Chiro. I'm the chairperson of FedHasa Cape. And during the day, general manager of the Western Cape Town in Cape Town.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rena Vista, and I'm the executive officer for FedHasa Cape, the paid official.
Morning to all the honorable members. My name is Caleb Mabaso, and I'm head of strategy projects for FedHasa, based at the head office in Kabi.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Fiesta Fanipak. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer for the Director General of the Department of Tourism.
Morning, everyone. I'm Shama Natu. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Minister's Office.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Senator Mbasodipa, representing the Office of the Deputy Minister of Tourism. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Natasha Rockman, and I'm from the Office of the Deputy Minister, Parliamentary and Media Office.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Senator Kato, Executive Secretary for the Service and Office Portfolio Committee, and I'm from Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bunkin Tilly. I'm the Research for the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. Ismail Hussain from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you, everybody. I want to congratulate Mr. Kosa for including women and youth in your delegation. We should be very, very gender feminine. I hope you do this. We look beautiful. Colleagues,
honorable Edison. Thank you, Chair. Some of the people doing the presentation said that during the day what they're doing. I just want to say that this is what I do during the day, and at night I'm a lead king and a rock and roll band.
You didn't challenge honorable Edison. Mr. Kosa, committee members, honorable members, we don't have a hard copy in the presentation yet. It will be supplied to us during the presentation. So we have scheduled for our meeting from 9 till 11. And I'd like you to stick to our time range. I'll give you 40 to 50 minutes for your presentation, and thereafter we will engage some questions from the members. So it's over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I just need to note some of my colleagues, those who say during the day. But as a chairman and the president of the association, their work isn't at night. I forgot to mention that originally I come from Libombo, in Zanini in particular, honorable member. And if I may follow the system, what do I do during the day? I run my own hotel. That's what helps me to pay the school fees of my children. By way of introduction, Chairperson, I think it's important to emphasize the point as to who are we. We are the association which is responsible to host your guests, those who are coming from outside the country. We are the association which is responsible to accommodate the leadership from various political parties, from the federal parliament. We are the organization which is responsible, and I'm talking about this representing our members. We look after your staff, we look after your employees, we even look after the society at large. There's a reason why I talk about this. It is one industry which cuts across all the departments of the government. So it's not only about tourism. Within our members, hotels, there are departments of transport, treasury, social development. They stay in our hotels when they travel. So therefore, we should not limit ourselves in terms of dealing with some of the questions during the times of GMA. I thought I need to emphasize that one. Tourism it doesn't play this far from the home environment, in particular hospitality. And traditionally, I spend a bit of time at the hotel school here in Cape Town. This is what I say to the students. Hospitality is about Ubuntu. It's an African way of hosting people. Traditionally, I think I've said it before, when you go to any African home, when you arrive there, 99% of the time they either offer you something to drink or to eat. And traditionally, when you were traveling in the olden days, you would even ask for an accommodation, even if you're a stranger. They will accommodate you. So that has been the nature of our business by our members. But today, it comes at fee. It is for that reason that we have hotels. It is for that reason that we have guest houses. It is for that reason that we have B&Bs. It is for that reason that we have lodges. Any room which can generate revenue out of it, it is our interest, etc. So Fedas is quite broad. We did not want to limit ourselves and say, can a backpacker be a member of Fedas? The answer to that is yes. Can a BSB be a member of Fedas? The answer to that is yes. However, presently, I would say 75% to even 85% of Fedas members, it is dominated by the big hotel groups. And I'm talking about the City Lodge of this world. I'm talking about the Sokotan, the Piermont, the Protea Marriott kind of a group, you know, the Western, from Rob, you'll know them from here in Cape Town. So those are the big boys. At the end of the day, you who have the vibe makes the tune. But you who have the cash makes the rules. So these guys, they do make the rules. I'm only there. They check. Do I listen to them? Yes. Do I have an option? Maybe. Am I responsible to guide in certain areas which I believe? Answer to that, yes. But 99% of the time, I always seek guidance from them as to which direction we should. It is a privilege and honor that we interact with the lawmakers, which I believe is yourself, and we invited the members in order for them to see straight as to how certain things are being done. You will have an opportunity to at least interact with them. FEDASA, when was formed? 1949, you will be surprised. Where? At Manao, in October 1949. So therefore, it is fair to say that we are no longer youth. It is fair that we are no longer middle age, but we are matured association. And it's safe for me, and I have no apology to say this. We are the oldest association in this country. We are 66 years old. Surely when you look at the lifespan of a human being in this country, based on the stats which has just been released most recently, we're fast apart our dying stage. So the probability of us living in darkness is high. So we continue to say, Bati indlela babuza kulabaphambili. So ezinye association mazibuze futhi ukuthi sisebenza kanjani. Sitho nabantu bemthetho, we can guide.
I will interpret that at later.
I think it's fair to say that we've been there for a long time, and if we seek wisdom, I think we are a better place to deal with such things. Now, when it was formed and why it was formed? Well, because the Zen government wanted to build government hotels in order for them to accommodate Zen, and which was fixed. And hoteliers took a decision to get together and say, we are going to oppose what the government thinks. And indeed, it was a success. It is for that reason that today it's still alive, talking our association. It is for that reason that today we have the hotel group which I'm talking about. If it wasn't because of that, I'm telling you right now, most of the big hotels were going to be owned by the government. So, want to congratulate our past presidents. I'm only new. At the end of the day, I think I'm the second longest serving president of Bedaza, which very soon probably I should step down. Now moving forward, one of the other things is we have four pillars which guide us, which will help us move forward with the business of the day. Central to everything, number one is the issue of legislation. We are the ones, those who are responsible. When you put forward the proposal of legal aid, smoking legislation, any proposal, including immigration, which we do have a problem with it, the BD, all this sort of thing, we are responsible to make sure that we make a comment and that way we can. And that is input where we can. And if it means we object it, we do that. It's our responsibility. So that is one of our center pillars. The second one, the issue of youth development and education, it is an area of interest. We went very close to higher education institution from ICT, University of Technology, and the Ecole University. Because we believe that the higher education is responsible to shape our society, and particularly for our industry. So it is important that we work very close to them. After quite a number of students come from RIL for what we call WIL, W-I-L, which is a workplace integrated learning. In simple, maybe I may just call it internships or practicals, which they are allowed to do a certain number of hours after it or before they complete their diplomas or certificates, whatever. So that's one of our centers. Included in the issue relating to exchange programs, we do in the end take an advantage of National Department of Tourism to say what kind of bilateral relationship have they formed with other countries, and then that way we come in and say how best can we leverage such relationship and interact with other colleges outside the country and do an exchange program. So those kind of things they do happen, and we believe we are best placed in order for us to add value to our country. I continue to say we are the base of the country because most of our guests, they stay. The guests, when it comes to this country, even domestic, when they stay in our hotel, 99% of the time they are coming from outside. They don't stay much. They don't stay in the Nogosan. They don't stay in Piemont. They don't stay in the hill, the western, but they stay in South Africa. This was my experience. And then the brand comes later, and when people ask where, then they are saying that at Kofada Hotel, wherever it is, because it will never be one of those big boys who I mentioned. Then the other thing which we deal with is the issue relating to environment sustainability, if I may just summarize it as responsible tourism. It is in our best interest that the issue of ESCOP remains a central concern, hence we have the responsible tourism program which contributes towards energy management. The second one being the issue relating to water efficiency management. The third one, waste management. I'm just thinking of a few in order for you to understand where, which areas do we participate, and there are quite a number of things which we do. So that program takes care and says that some of our members will contribute towards the sustainability of our environment through participating. And we have the Envelope Award, so which delivers and recognize which then is the fourth pillar. Appreciation award delivers an appreciation, and it's on a voluntary basis. You enter the competition so that we recognize your contribution towards the environment in our country. We think of things. And presently we are partnered, or in the last 13 years, we are partnered with the National Department of Tourism to deliver the awards, and the program as well is going to kick off. Now, I do not want to send a confusing message when it comes to the Lizella. It's something, it's an award which we are working close to them under the leadership of South African Tourism. So that one is the other program which we are involved in with the National Department of Tourism is the Educators Program, which there has been a concern out there that educators, they teach either tourism or hospitality, but some of them, they have not seen a hotel room. Some of them, they do not understand the dynamics which happens in the hotel. It is for that reason that NG took interest and we thought we are better placed in order for us to partner with them to deliver the program and continue to educate our educators. We have currently the flagship FSA, which is a food safety assurance program, which I think the graduation is going to happen but in May.
No, we're looking at May, July.
Okay. Now, what does it do? The food safety program, it deals with how we handle food. In the kitchen, the storage, in terms of hygiene related, the temperature of our food items, all those details. They train them for a period of a year and they go to their hotel, various hotel things in order for them to get the structural component and things like that. I think it's not the first time that you hear about that. But it's a very, very interesting and good initiative. And through that program, we are able to say, are we in the position to say South Africa? It should be a destination of choice because of that food safety problem. I'll give you an example. Can you imagine somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo goes and check in one hotel, or maybe Julia, check in our hotel, eat his food, and there's a problem. Or check in hotel too. Well, it was not because of the food issue that they came back early from, you know, from the chef. It was something else. So the point which I'm trying to make is a very important program which we are driving. The other program which we are driving, which is under our leadership, dedicated by TBZ, Gay Tourism Business Center of South Africa, it's the youth or young talent. I think it's important that we do not undermine the leaders of tomorrow. So it's important that we work very close to them and see how best we shape in terms of succession planning moving forward. What interests me is what is happening in Davos when it comes to young talent. They've got different kinds of programs. And having said that, it is again in our best interest that when you look at the young talent do not divorce their higher education, be it FETs, universities of technology, and the actual universities, in order for us to say education can help us to transform this country in a sustainable fashion. It is my personal view, Chairperson, that the issue of education, I've raised it in the last, I don't know if I call it a roadshow, when the Chairperson took the honorable members to Houghton, and they had some few mentions, I raised the issue of education. Very important. As the time goes on, it is my dream, personal, that in the next coming 20 years, things that we are doing 21 years now, after 1994, is there a possibility that the receptionist should have a diploma in hospitality? Is there a possibility that a waiter should carry at least a certificate in hospitality? I can guarantee you it will be a sustainable move. The notion of saying that hospitality and tourism is an easy entry to job training, I ask you as members, is this the sustainable? Or we embark on educating our people and make sure that service is not sustainable. The other day was under things, I was watching the television. I saw Colin Powell, who is a former general, who said, if you fail a matric, why do we believe that you can get a job and defend our country? If you have failed matric, why do we believe that you can become an ambassador of our country through the hospitality sector? Is it the sustainable one? I question that. I think it's something we should need to think about moving forward. I'm not saying that presently we shouldn't import people, those who don't have matric, who don't have certificate, but in the long term, it's something which we need to look at. What other problem, if I may just detail it to Chairperson? This challenge relating to immigration remains a central concern. It is something which we have spoken about. It is something which is on the meter right now. When the Minister of Home Affairs extended the implementation to, I think, June this year, we're asking ourselves a question. Between when this matter started suffering and now, how much business have we lost? Is it a workable system? It's something which probably I'm going to ask some of my colleagues to expand on that. The issue, the second challenge which I need to talk to briefly, the DEE code and particular sector codes. Officially, I think it's due for implementation very soon, is it? April. But I don't believe that we have made a sufficient program. It's something which we are keeping an eye and went very close to the people content, the people responsible, and proceed. But we hope an opportunity will exist for us to be given an opportunity to make a further contribution. The other challenge which exists is the issue of SMEs. new minister of small business was appointed, we thought it would be easier. We thought it makes life a little bit easier for small operators. But I want to illustrate one living example. An order was issued to a travel agent, a small operator, and traditionally hotels want to be paid upfront for the services. Moreover, when they see that it's not coming from a reputable travel agent, then when you call for a payment, the fellow will say, I will make an arrangement. He goes to the local economic development. Another department go and borrow money in order to pay. Now, I don't know, I don't understand that kind of system. Probably I need guidance. All I'm trying to say is look at some of these challenges. You cannot move money from one department to another department in the line of pushing transformation. And they take their commission, by the way, whoever. I just don't think it's right. It's something which needs to be looked at. Some of these things that don't just happen and become successful, we start with a challenge. I've spoken about the visa issue when we're addressing the immigration, the abridged certificate. We're talking with one of the deputy chairperson. Because of this challenge of the visas, you may remember that China was offered a visa on arrival by Australia. Guess what happened? Everybody from China flocked into Australia and we lost. So, it's one of those things. Then the other question is, do we create sustainable jobs? The answer to that is yes. Occupancy driven, and we have chaos, which is driven by supply and demand. Demand being occupancy, if it's higher, it will require additional staff with call chaos. Is there an opportunity to build, to empower more people? The answer to that is yes. You will remember during the approach to 2010, quite a number of hotels were built. Quite a number of B&Bs started mushrooming. Quite a number of lodges were developed. I have not heard that they have closed shop some of those hotels. But I want to say, one of the things which is very close is to demonstrate that hospitality does create sustainable jobs. Switzerland has just opened the waterfall, which is a new property. Once it's new, 99% of the time, there will be somehow, somewhere, permanent staff, from administration to a waiter, to a housekeeper, all those kind of things. So therefore, since from the build-up of 2010 and then now, quite a number of new rooms came in to our country. And the quality of our hotel rooms by far, it surpasses the quality of some other hotels around the world. And those hotels, they continue to represent us pretty well. Can I just close right here and maybe allow Mr. Ross to make an additional intro in some of the issues which I have indicated.
Thank you, Mr. Coder. Through the chair, Honourable.
I think as an industry, the couple of points which Mr. Korda has made here are certainly very high on our agenda as issues which are really going to impact our industry as a whole. And certainly the immigration and the visa requirements, we are starting now to, I think, feel the effects of these decisions which were taken. In the fact that occupancies in the industry have started decline, coming off a fairly good increasing base of last year. And if we have a look at the stats which come through from SBR Global, I think from October, November, December last year, we started seeing a decline occupancy, and we know certainly from discussions which we've had within the industry that there are many tour operating companies that are talking about anything between 60 and 90% decline in their business from China and India, which are two markets which were really growth markets for us, where we are having enormous problems with regards to the new requirements now of being present when applying for a visa, the biometrics which need to be done in person, the time and cost of these potential tourists having to go to the couple of centres which they are in China, in Shanghai and Beijing, and in India, Delhi and Mumbai. It sometimes costs them more to get there and to put up in hotels than it would cost them for their trip to come to South Africa. And I think the point that was mentioned with regards to Australia, as soon as Australia picked up on this potential problem for South Africa, they immediately put out a communique to say that anybody from China and the East wanting to go to Australia would no longer require visas. And they would be done on entry. They would be doing their visa applications and biometrics on entry into Australia. So, you know, the Australian government really saw an initiative there that would really help and boost their tourism economy. And I just think that we need to, as a country, have to have a look at the measures which are either in place with regards to visas and the biometrics, as well as the unofficial birth certificates which are coming out now on the first of June. So certainly, I'd say for our industry is a very, very worrying factor, because we didn't necessarily see cancellations come straight after the introduction of these measures, but we certainly have not seen any bookings coming through in the future. In other words, these people are just not arriving. And I think to exacerbate the situation, there was an article, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, to say that they've run out of paper in China in order to actually print these visas. Now, you know, how does that help the industry in South Africa when this kind of thing is actually taking place? On the point of the BEE and the sector codes, that comes in for implementation, if I remember correctly, now on the first of April. We have as yet still no indication as to how it's going to work, what we are supposed to be doing as not only as an industry, but I think on all of the aspects of BEE. As well as our sector codes. We don't have a sector code. I don't think there is a sector code that has yet been promulgated or even put out for comment. And it really is the 11th hour as far as that is concerned. We as industry have, however, done a lot of work with regards to the EE, with regards to our own sector codes, and these are currently with our minister. But we certainly don't see that any of this is going to be implementable on the 1st of April when it is supposed to come into being. The next point I think I just want to elaborate on is, you know, small business opportunities. I think in our industry we certainly have a huge opportunity for these small business opportunities, but we also have a very big problem where many of these startup companies, whether they be travel agents, whether they be tour operators, whether they be hotels and breakfast, that type of thing, they don't have the financial backing and the financial capabilities, right, of keeping these businesses going if they are not being paid. Right, we talk that it's a big problem within the industry as well. That we have all these small businesses which rely on a lot of government business, and not only small businesses, big businesses as well, where the businesses are just not being paid by government, irrespective of what the rule or the law says, that suppliers will be paid within 30 days. I think it's the part of the financial act that they will be paid within 30 days. This is not happening. And everybody is pointing fingers at everybody else as to who is to blame. But I think all we can see here is that it is the business which is coming from the various governmental departments which are just not being paid either to the individual company or to the small entrepreneur or to the travel management companies that are managing these accounts for the suppliers. So that is for us a really big problem, because these monies that have been outstanding or are outstanding, they run into the hundreds of millions of rand and are well over plus 90 days where they're outstanding and still have not been settled. So it is a great problem. It is also, I think, jeopardizing an enormous number of smaller enterprises who just do not have the capacity to be able to finance themselves while waiting for monies to come in 90, 120 days, 150 days. And I think that really then also talks to the point of the industry being able to create sustainable jobs. You know, we only can create sustainable jobs if I think all the partners are playing together in the same game. So I think those really are the points which I would like to just comment on following the presentation from the chair.
Through you, chair. One other thing which I think we need to place on record, and we cannot ignore the proposal by KZN, in particular the MEC of Economic Development and Tourism, as we are called, with regard to his bid fund proposal for KZN, the province. Our view is there is a tourism levy, which is under the administration of TCSA, or TOMSA, needless for me to say, we want to place a record that we don't support the defund in that province. Immediately, if it can be implemented, it causes so much problem. The housing will start. Then Pumalanga starts. Then Northern King. Then it becomes unhealthy. Our suggestion is probably it should be done through the process of Thompson. So we can't just say we object without a solution. There is a solution. There is a system which is working. If we need to review the current system of Thompson, let it be. So we want to flag that as a challenge and say officially we do not support it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gorsa, for your presentation. Thank you, sir. Mr. Nunes, I'd like to welcome the Honorable Kumbok. Welcome here in the meeting. It's now time for our engagement with the presentation. It's open.
Honorable Whitfield, Honorable Kronbach, Honorable Sovida, Honorable Forrest, Honorable Master Haley, in that order.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. When we did our oversight in Pretoria and we met with TBCSA and its affiliates, the issue of payments outstanding from government departments came up from not just FINASA but car rental agencies and other across the board. What we did ask for, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was to receive some sort of a breakdown as far as possible of what the amounts are, which departments are owing, so that we can also follow that up from our side. Because it is a major concern, particularly for smaller businesses with cash flow issues, but across the board the principle remains that we need to follow up on that, and I think we've taken an undertaking that we would when we do our oversight. I think that we need to record that, perhaps the chairperson needs to write a letter, I don't know what process we follow, but that we can get a breakdown of which departments owe how much money to which sectors of the industry, so we can address that. The other issue I wanted to ask was just to find out how many of your members you would consider, or what percentage of your membership you would consider to be SMEs, and whether you have a differential membership rate for smaller businesses to provide them access to your services and your membership base. And then what is FINASA doing, if anything, to work with SAT to promote domestic tourism, to provide incentives for South Africans to travel, to package particular offers? But if you just talk specifically to domestic tourism and South African tourism strategy around how to promote that aspect of tourism. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Compared to presentations that we've had from FedHasa in previous years, this one is a little bit thin. It's about sort of themes and fairly generalized programs and basic points of departure that FedHasa are working with. Talking about the PINSAs documents that have been handed out, I really would have liked to have seen something a bit more neaty and something with a few more numbers, because it's descriptive, but one doesn't really get a good understanding of the trends in the industry unless one has a comparative analysis to access. And President Clinton once notably said, compared to what? So in the research, and thank goodness for research, that we were given 2 pages, there's a very slight generalization to that in the first paragraph, where it talks about the accommodation take-up and the revenue bringing to the industry, and suggests that it might be increasing for the bigger groups but not for the rest. I would like to ask the presenters if we couldn't perhaps have something more substantial. The point about the debt outstanding is that, and I think it's an important point, and reference has been made to the impact of the visas, and some of the statistics that were quoted by the second presenter, quite astonishing. We're talking about a 60 to 90% decline, something like that, I think you said, from India and China. I mean, that is a very, very significant negative impact on industry and therefore on our economy. And it beggars belief that Australia are so organized to the point that immediately when they become aware of what we're about to do and cut off our own noses and spout our face, they exploit that opportunity. It just shows how their government is on the ball and is very willing and able actually exploit market opportunities to the benefit of their people, and how we basically gifted them this. It's like an ungolded football or intercession rugby. I mean, we couldn't have made it easier though. That's a staggering thing that I've heard today, how quickly our competitors exploited our own ungolded. The question I'd like to ask is one that relates to employment in the industry, because FedHasa are there to represent the interests of the hospitality industry as an umbrella body, and the knock-on effect of that, knowing as we do that tourism is a very high employer, requires a lot of people, particularly in the big enterprises, to make the system work. Last week we had a presentation which indicated that the regulation environment, including our most important labour laws, was the single biggest inhibitor of drug creation from the EP, the representation, you'll remember acting chair. And that was the biggest single reason. 36% of the people in the BDP survey indicated that is the biggest reason. What I'd like to ask Ted Harder this morning is what interactions have they had with government to draw this kind of attention or this kind of problem to government's attention, the Department of Tourism's attention? And perhaps they could give some indication from their point of view, representing the bigger role players in the hotel industry, what the third-level law regime has cost us in lost job opportunities. Because as a committee, we're obviously very concerned about the economy. I think we all should be concerned about people. It's about the people ultimately. That's why we care about the economy. And I'd like to know how many people could have been employed in the kind of organization that Ted Harder represents, but for the fact that we have this very job-crushing regulation environment. And that is not good for the actual enterprises themselves, nor good for the people seeking employment. Can we have at least some kind of information on that?
Thank you, Arab Shabbatan. Thank you for the presentation to the Shabbatan. But let me start this way, Arab Shabbatan. For one like me, who was not part of the delegation to the oversight, can I be advantaged to understand how this association has organized itself, where do they work from, how does its members get their service, where do they work from, what is it that the establishment can do to be members? Can I be made to understand that? You know, as you share, it is good for us as a portfolio committee to have the people who are hands-on in this hospitality industry presenting to us, because they are the ones who make us understand the hospitality industry, what challenges they are facing, what good practices are there, what services are they offering, and how those services are offered. The first presenter said they have partnered with the Department of Tourism. My question would be to them, what kind of partnership is that? Is there an assistance that they get from the department? Or what else can they tell us as a committee about their partnership with the Department of Tourism? The other thing that I'm interested in is the program of the youth talent, whatever. What good story can they tell us in the community under that young talent, whatever they have said? I was also interested in the issue of them assisting with the educational program. Does the department assist them as an association to carry on those programs? Are they funded by the department? If not, how does the organization sustain itself if not assisted? Let me also, Acting Chair, congratulate them for the 66 years of their existence. Not forgetting the importance of the fact that they established their position in Mangaung, because most of good things start in Mangaung. I will not mention them now, but most of good things start there in Mangaung. But Chair, what I was trying to put in front of the meeting is that can I have the other side of their story to understand them as an association, not as individual groups, one maybe coming from a hotel group, the other one from such another group, understand them as an association. Thanks, Jay.
Honorable Esterson will follow after the Honorable Fox. I didn't see an invitation from you earlier. So you'll be the last.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Etienne. Let me welcome the presentation that we received this morning. Some of the questions have been asked already, but I wanted to check with, especially when we talk about the training that Mr. Kozer just mentioned, the importance of, indeed it is very important that since they are the face of the country where everybody arrives at, we do really need people who are well educated in that particular place. Do you normally go and check with these FETs that are offering the hospitality and maybe even encouraging them on things that they're supposed to be doing so that they're able to train these students in the right direction? It is indeed very difficult if you're going to be training a person that you don't even know how a hotel looks like. I did visit FET College, that is Capricorn FET College. They are offering hospitality, they also have a restaurant to run. So those students are practicing there, even though they don't have the rooms, but at least the restaurant is there. If we can encourage these big institutions at least to have such establishments within them, so that the learners are able to practice what they're supposed to be doing. We are also the creators of many of the jobs as a tourism. But in most cases, I don't understand the situation where we find that it is as if they solely depend on tips. Is that really a sustainable job? Is there any basic salary that is being recommended so that each and every establishment knows that there is this basic salary which is being recommended above the tips that the people are getting? The issue of government not paying, it is really disappointing because we did talk about this in the past. And maybe as a committee we should do something about it to inform or to make all these departments aware, because there is a regulation that within 30 days they must pay. If it's not paid above 30 days, is really a disappointing one. I'm sure we should do something as a committee to assist this establishment. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm working through the presentation that was handed to us in hard copy format. I think it would have been perhaps more beneficial if the presenters, in fact, would go through the presentation, but I know that time would not allow that now because the chairperson's introduction took up a lot of time, but it was useful. But I think there would have been also some benefit in going through the slides. I would just like you to put that up there because I've been quickly making notes from some of these slides which actually deal with the real workings of the ASA. And that brings me to a couple of the questions. Firstly, the comments with regards to the room occupancy declining as a result of the new visa regulations, or not new, but as we know, it's a big engine for us to grow our international market because of the obstacles that are now put in place, and there's nothing else but to refer to as obstacles, because many countries are moving towards biometrics on arrival, and that's surely something that the industry has been asking for since the implementation of the visa regulations, which is making it impossible for those two markets to grow as a result of it. And I think you've commented on that by making reference to the drop from 60% to 90%. I would like to know, because your reference was 60% to 90% in terms of the markets, China and India, but is it possible through FedHasa? Because I've been speaking to the Business Council, Tourism Business Council of South Africa, the figures that I'm getting from them are also broad figures, but I would like to know, is it possible to quantify, to say exactly what is that hotel and room occupancy rate, the decline, as a result of the visa regulations? Because I'm sure that FedHasa would be able to know exactly what's happening within the industry in terms of the real impact on hotel and group occupancy. Because that would also be good to our argument to make sure that we put forth statistics, because every time we engage the Minister of Tourism and also his counterpart, the Minister of Home Affairs, on the issue, they say they want the real figures. What is the real impact? And I think it's high time that through organizations such as FedHasa that we can provide the accurate figures, what is the real impact on room occupancy as a result of these visa regulations, because we need to champion biometrics on arrival. The other countries, you've mentioned Australia, and I know many others, are introducing biometrics on arrival, and really, it cuts turnaround time tremendously, and it also improves security. I mean, there's that balance that you need to strike, and it's there. Then the issue with regards to quality assurance. It was a shock announcement last week made in our committee that the CEO of the South African Grading Council has resigned. Now, the committee has really been putting a lot of emphasis on quality assurance in the tourism industry, because the good work that's done by industry can really be damaged if there's not quality assurance put in place through the mechanisms of the department, through our institutions, and also through organizations such as FedHasa, because everybody's got a role to play to ensure that there's a good product, because bad product will damage our brand locally and abroad, and we cannot afford it because we are playing against so many odds here that we really need to make sure that there's good quality assurance. This committee has often said that we should extend quality assurance from places of accommodation to other services, but in terms of the quality assurance applicable to places of accommodation, I would like to know from you, this is now my second question, what mechanisms are in place internally in FedHasa to make sure that those members that do belong to FedHasa are graded. Because as you know, there are baskets of benefits available to those establishments that are graded. The Grading Council has been putting a lot of effort into expanding on that basket of benefits, because we must make sure that there is a consumer push. People must know that they are staying in a graded facility, and these are the benefits, these are the quality assurance that they receive as a client or as a traveler. So what internal mechanisms are in place to ensure that those members that do belong to FedHasa in fact are graded? And if there are no mechanisms, I hope that there would be mechanisms put in place, because we need to create synergy. FedHasa played an important role together with the strategic objectives of the NDC to make sure that all facilities are graded, or we know it's voluntary. I would like to see that something is in place internally with FedHasa to speak to our strategic objectives, because we are all working together to create a good product, a good brand, and I think that is an opportunity that we must explore. Then, Madam Chair, training. This would now be it's one of the first 3, 4, 5 pages. Training of our frontline staff, tour operators, banking, media taxis, public transport, travel agents, etc. Next phase, working with NDT and formal hotels on certain excellent projects. Working with NDT on big hotel educators and so on and so on. I would like to hear more about the training programs that are available, because that brings me to my next question. What are the real benefits to members belonging to FedHasa? You are a credible organization, there's no doubt about that. You've been in existence for many, many years. But I would really like to know, if I'm a new emerging B&B or a small hotel or boutique hotel, whatever, and I join FedHasa, what are the benefits for joining? One of the notes from our research unit, some of the benefits highlighted by FedHasa as benefits for taking up membership include legislative updates. Okay? That's one part, but I would like to know if there are any other more tangible benefits to bring about the quality, to bring about the service excellence, to bring about a good product altogether. Because we need to invest in our people more often, because we know that tourism is a labor-intensive industry, a creative industry, so surely there should be benefits in that. Then my last question, Madam Chair, on the labor-intensive, we know that there are currently minimum wage negotiations taking place, and we know that in the hotel industry, the hospitality industry in South Africa, you've got thousands and thousands of people employed within this industry. Are you involved? I think it's been asked that, but okay, if I repeat it, maybe that would be good, because it's a very good, what's an important part of our work here is to make sure that those people that are employed within the hospitality industry, that there are proper working conditions in place, and secondly, the minimum wage that's currently being discussed by the Department of Labor. This is a big industry with a big workforce. We must make sure that people that are employed in this industry are looked at in terms of labor relations, etc. So that's my last question.
The Honorable Esther Reisner, thank
you, Chair. I must always be before the Honorable Force. See, I just want to start with the visa thing. The President mentioned that SONA, the visa regulations are going to be looked at. And I think there's already talk about it, hopefully not at Macron, but it will be someplace else. By the visa regulations, there is a good chance for Ben on that. Then I agree. I really want to see, or would have expected to see, more facts, figures, numbers, success rate on the presentation. I don't see really anything on that. It was just mentioned about training of our frontline staff. You know, how many staff are trained there? How many? So many people train their own staff. I'm sure. What is it, 49, that's more than that, 65, 66 years ago. There were definitely more benefits. I see from our researchers here, there was a pride itself in the industry in playing a pivotal role in saying that businesses pay their TV license. My hell, I'm sure they do more than that. Now a few questions. The Department of Trade and Industry, the grants that they provide, has it also got any control? What portion goes to the applicant, for example? What is the control on the grant? Suppose I mentioned who was Cristiano Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney, or whoever you mentioned. Oh, yes, maybe the volume. I'm a Manchester United man. The food and safety hospitality industry, what regulations are in place to comply with international regulations? I know that European travelers are requested food safety destination all over the world where they go. Also, it was mentioned that the gentleman right next to Mr. Gorda of not having paper in some offices, incompetence of some visa officers from this country is something really to be addressed. It comes down to management again, and delivery, and that is a big problem in so many of offices. Government officers. In the last one, representing FEDASA, I know they represent the employer, the hotel, and at CGMA, for example. But for the employee, what do you do for the employee? FEDASA, what role do you play? Madam Chair, and I've got a flight out now to Johannesburg now, just by
thank you, Honorable Esther, you did quite well.
You needn't, you can speak after the honorable force. Are you living us now on the incident? Are you living us now? Okay, you are excused. Thank you for your presence here. Over to you, Mr. Bosa, and your delegation.
Honorable Chair, can I just say something? I'm a businessman, I'm not a politician, so in case I happen to make a mistake, forgive me, it's part of the learning process. So I thought I should get the members to know about it. I wanted to answer his question first before he leaves as what do we do and the issue of control, read the FSA and the grant. But let me just deal with that one first. First of all, what do we do for the employees? We are employers association. We are not the employees representative association. Not. I need to make that very clear. Our employees are protected by the Basic Commission of Employment Act or the Labor Relations Act, if I may put it that way. And reasonably and historically, I think it is one of the industries which, in terms of our members, they have been looked after. And it's for that reason that the last time when was a strike within the hospitality industry, I don't even remember. I'm a former unionist myself. So I think the space is well protected. We look after our employees and believe you, man. I think they are happy. It is for that reason that if there's any industry where this is one sector where you find the longest serving employees. Some of them, they have been as, I talk about Sogosa. They have been there 20, 30 years. This is an opportunity for development and growth. And grow within the institution. So, I just needed to deal with that one. The second one, second last one which I want to deal with is what control do we have over FSA? Some of them, I will touch them, Madam Chair. We have partnered with the National Department of Tourism, and that's where the funding comes from, to train. We've paid 100 people, those who did not have jobs, coming from the SET colleges. It is the new thing which created a sustainable job. And these people, the very same students, they even get a stipend for the duration of the practical. Now, this has been a pilot project covering Limpopo, KZN, and Mpumalanga. It has been a pilot project where we have to take 100. Hence, we think that the graduation may happen in June and July. So, the main funding came from the Department of Tourism. And then we got the supply to execute this. How is it being done? Let me make an example. Let me use an example of the Cape Town because it's a nearby hotel or the resident next to the convention center. The property is big. They serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Probably even the other function in their meeting rooms there. So you need more than one FSA. To operate a hotel of that magnitude. For example, there may be one working early, the other one working late, but training there, they go to a formal sit-down with a lecture, contact time, for a period of 3 weeks, initially when they start, and then after that, deployed to various hotels where they do practical, so that this is live, it's not on theory. When they complete it, we've seen an improvement in terms of the inspectors when they come. If I may call them auditors, what do you call the hygiene SGS? Yeah, hygiene facilitator guys when they come, independent guys, come and check in terms of their quality, and they have seen an average between 10 to 15% improved by the hotels. So immediately after, their training, their thinking has been that particular hotel can employ an FSA so that
that person become a full time because it's important. That's a value on its own. So from the employer point of view, when you train FAT, you need a hotel or a restaurant in order for the students to go to practice. It's a value add to our society. Already we're talking about an average of 100 permanent jobs which are being created. The issue relating to the grant, I want you to deal with this the honorable member who just left right now. I was in the same portfolio committee talking about the grant to our sector which has been talked to. It has not taken off until today. I was very surprised that you raised this question. The grant has been moved from DTI to MDT. Has it taken off? The answer to that is no, not yet. But I know the fact that they are working on it, it's going to take off pretty soon. So I cannot comment any further, but that's a question. But the question was, when a grant was applied for, does it ultimately go to the owner of the product? The answer to that was always yes. That's what I knew. However, the agent which was assisting with the application will take certain percentage. That's all what I can, in order for me to deal with the issue relating to it. The other thing which we need to mention is within the department, within the sector rather, the hospitality, there's minimum wages, which Department of Labor sends this communication to us and saying, now minimum wage, if you're a full-time employee, or you are an employer with this kind of number of employees from 0 to 10, this is your minimum wage. From 11 to XYZ, this is your minimum wage, which is valid in the specific period. So that one has been working. Yes, it is working well. I know that it's being reviewed, all the minimum wages changes every between June and July, almost every year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So those kind of things, we keep an eye, that's why it's under pillar number one, relating to legislative. We have a guy who's helping us pretty well on that. We don't miss our space there. Now, I'll come back to the issue of benefits. I'll ask one of my colleagues to deal with this. When it comes to training and of staff, it is in the best interest of any organization to make sure that the staff is well trained. Maybe I should touch the issue of a culture, organizational culture. The Western as a group, it's got its own culture compared to the City Lodge. And City Lodge has got its own culture compared to the Claremont group, compared to the co-chair or office world. So you train people in a different way. A person may be trained having a national diploma in tourism, a national diploma in hospitality, but when you are brought into the organization, you need to be introduced to organizational culture. That's another kind of training. But how does FEDASA or our employers assist with the issue relating to training? I spoke of the internship, of which academically is called WIL, W-I-L, Workplace Integrated Learning, where the students are actually required to go and spend 6 months internship is 6 months. So those students, personally speaking, they become the employees, but as trainees, internship for a period of 6 months, and when it expires, either they go back in order for them to be able to graduate. So that intervention is so important. The issue relating to the quality assurance, it's so unfortunate that this matter has been deposited here about the CEO having resigned. I want to believe that we want to wish her well, and Chinese African Tourism should get a replacement and will continue with the voluntary program. But let me mention that under the chairmanship of the Ross Reef Kadhafi Group Hotel, we contribute greatly when it comes to the quality assurance and the program which is in the document. Kadhafi Group Hotel, we it's fair to say that we participate, we make those inputs, and if there's something which we do not agree with, we'll share. I'll give you a specific example. There was a proposal that correct me if I'm wrong. So a four-star, the room should have a bath and a shower but separate.
Is that correct?
Yes.
There are a number of issues.
Yeah. I'm just highlighting that one as an example. Yeah. And then that is said, there are hotels which have been built up times ago. Now, how do you, the cost of that one varies. It becomes a cost to the business. Now, I went to Madrid, to the United World Tourism Organization, and I sat in the World Standards as the president of FEDASA. One question which was asked, is this in the interest of UNWTO to prescribe as to what kind of facility should be in the room, and it is not taken then? No. So, why should somebody dictate as to what should the room look like? What is that with regards to minimum deliverable to whatever the grading star, D3, 4, 5, all that kind of thing? What we need to do, we need to align ourselves with the world class standards. And I must say, I am on record right now having said that the quality of our hotel room far surpasses some of the rooms around the world. So that one, we are looking and we are encouraging. I think Rima will speak to this. We do encourage our members to continue to be graded. Okay? But because the program is voluntary, you cannot force people to do so. I note the request on impact on the visa, the tedious process in terms of a brief certificate and all the cancellation of groups which has been covered. I think maybe Ms. Ross will make additional comment on this. We can. We are more than willing to try to collate information and it can be shared with you. Moving on. In relation to the tip versus the base. Sir. You know, women in medicine, there are bonkers doctors out. We say to our members, here are the minimum wages. I mean, it covers everybody. If you are B&B with 3 rooms, or a smaller extent where you do not have permanent or you have casual staff, surely here is the difference. Our function is not to police, it's to encourage our members to respect the best business practice. I don't want to leave the portfolio committee with the view that I say we are responsible for policing in terms of legislation to make sure that the other in his entity pays the minimum wage and all that, that's a function of the Department of Labor. But having said that, there are quite a number of restaurants, maybe they have that kind of system. I have been interviewed on the radio on this question. It is not our encouragement to our member not to pay the staff. So for those kinds of people of operation is something which we do not encourage. The issue of visiting the FET colleges, I do not want to say we visit, but we were very close to the FET colleges. It's for that reason that we brought those 100 students to go through the process of interviews and all that. But we do note that an opportunity does exist. But I need to add one more. I have been invited to quite a number of universities as a president of PEDASA to sit in a peer review of different curriculums within the institution. So we make a contribution so that we close the gap between what the industry wants and what comes from that microwave or oven of the higher education. It is in our best interest to make sure that we close and we narrow the gap so that we not take people, those who do not want. So we continue to look at that thing. Madam Chair, the issue relating to domestic tourism. We were very close to the African tourism. Mr. Ross is the Deputy Chairperson of GCSA, Tourism Business Council of South Africa, who we have put together a forum which interacts with South African tourism, but they covered up some of the issues relating to growth and the growth domestic strategy. We do interact. But as to the success rate of some of these things, it's something else. But I need to make mention of something. At one stage there was a proposal to say, how best do we get our own society to travel our own country? And immediately when you travel our own country, you need accommodation. The high season or low season? When is the best time for us to encourage hotels? At one stage, the decision was taken that we do not lower the rate, but we have promotion rates. Where destinations such as Johannesburg during December or Easter, the occupancies are low because everybody goes home. Is that not the opportunity for us to say, no, let us get our people, their facials and all these sorts of things? I was asked that question again some time ago. And that's how I deal with it. Normally they say that if you don't ask, you don't get it. So, it is in our interest to maximize the rate. We're in business to make money. That's the bottom line. I don't want to be here and think that you are going to call us and you get to some low rate. That is in my best interest to make sure that my organization is profitable. The relationship between ourselves and NGT. We have a relationship with NGT. I've spoken about FSA already, Madam Chair. The second one is the status program. The other one was very close to them when it comes to service excellence. The other one was very close to them when it comes to awards. So that is a very structured relationship. There are other governmental departments, those who work very close to, i.e. the Department of Water when it comes to environment, the ESCOM of this world, the Department of Water when it comes to water efficiency. I do note the request when it comes to state occupancy. You know, you've got South African tourism in the key states in terms of arrivals and all that kind of thing. Now, in my mind, when we came here, I said, do we care about hotel occupancies and all that kind of thing? Yes, we can. I'll make sure that the next presentation that is included, if that's what you want to know. The issue relating to was that the cost of jobs in terms of the legislation, I'll just make a simple example. The Labor Act. And if I may single out housing, because I personally dealt with it. I wanted to introduce the Labor Act whereby we close at 2 o'clock in the morning and open the following day, I think it's 11 o'clock. Now, the question which then asked the Minister of Economic Development was some of our properties, we said something better. Are you telling them we can only serve champagne breakfast after 11? Half of breakfast in my mind is after 10, 11, and close. Now people are getting married. What happened to them? The other one is the interpolation to the cardinals. You have this gathering. Come to our club, you say, all the bars are closed. Then we said, if you have a concern with the township relating to the operating part, rather let us deal with that, rather than coming to our hotels and you limit the potential for us to generate revenue, not only revenue, but to deliver this to our guests. May I just ask Rima to speak to the membership, please, Rima?
Thank you, Mr. Kouza, the chairperson. Maybe I can just start, and I mean, one of the questions that was posed is that Hirata's got a structure where offices are based. It's got the national structure up in Johannesburg. Then it's got three regional offices where our membership is based. We've got the Cape office that includes Western and Northern Cape provinces that I'm responsible for. We've got an office in Durban that looks after the KZN and Eastern Cape regions or provinces. And then we've got an office in Gauteng that looks after all the inland provinces, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Northwest, etc. Also important is we've got very small staff complement within FEHADA because FEHADA is an industry-driven association. So our board members, like my Honourable Chairman here next to me, the Secretary, they are elected by the members to represent the industry, which is hospitality, accommodation and catering on our respective provincial or regional board. Our membership is structured also around hotel sector, the restaurant and catering sector, the small accommodation sector that includes the SMME, the guest houses, the B&Bs. We've also got a division or a segment called suppliers of products and services to the industry. And then also very excitingly, about 4 or 5 years, we've got a youth segment as well that is representing the young entrants and the future leaders in the industry who are members of FEHADA. Maybe on that point, our fee structure is also structured according to the size of the business. You know, in different tiers, how many rooms the establishment's got, how many seats the restaurant got. So that means we do have a lower fee for the entrance in the industry and the small operators, B&B, the SMMEs, etc. On the benefits, maybe just briefly, we do have the benefit of NASA being the best private sector voice of the industry, our employer's body registration that helps and assists with GCMA representation, the specialized advice and assistance with regard to legislative matters, labor matters, etc. And then also we do have tangible benefits to our members. I do have a couple of brochures here, but if I may, I could to Mr. Baltina make available an electronic copy. I want to ensure that you get that. So glad you do that. Our tangible benefits, for instance, include some like discount on SABCC licenses because a property with, example, 500 rooms has to pay the 265 per TV set. We're getting a discount of 25% currently for our members on TV licenses, etc. So we encourage members to obviously be grateful for their TV licenses, their commercial licenses. Do have with our financial partners a discount on credit card business. We do have an agreement with SAA on flight discounts. And various other tangible benefits. This list continues to grow because we are working with our members on a continuous basis in trying to increase and to also enhance the benefits that we do give to the members. So, in a nutshell, but I will make information available. Thank you.
Through you, Jack. Can I ask Mr. Ross to make a comment?
Sorry, thank you very much for the questions which have been asked. I think they really are very, you know, very understandable, very structured. And we, I hope through what the chair has said, has given some answers. But as an industry, I think the only thing that I want to say is, as an industry, we all work very, very closely together. As FEHADA, as I mentioned right in the beginning, data is driven by the employers of the industry, and we in our position give up our time in order for this association to grow and to strengthen and to really get as many members as what we can to support the Fed House Association and the initiatives which we take. In our individual capacities, if I talk about generally the majority of industry players sit on various different, not only associations, but various boards to drive the business of hospitality in this country. If I just take that, you know, we talked about the FET colleges, we talked about hotel schools, School of Tourism and Hospitality at UJ. We sit on the boards of those establishments in order to drive the what is happening in the industry today to influence the curricula which is being taught at these universities. So that's all part of what it is that we do. And the Honourable Foss, I know that you know that I sit in CEP, I'm deputy chair of the TBCSA, I'm also the chairman of the Fed House Group Hotels Committee, and through these various associations that we have, we obviously bring up all of these issues and direct them to where we can influence the most and get decisions made. So that really, I think, is quite an important factor which we need to put on the table, is that we're represented here as Fed House today, there are many, many other touch points, whether it be SASA, whether it be a SASA, whether it, you know, we have touch points in almost every aspect of the industry in our positions that we have within the industry itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Korta, and your delegation for the input here. Honorable Woodfield, do you want to close the questioning session?
A follow-up there and one other question. The follow-up was whether we can actually get those figures. I don't know if that was covered. If we can actually get a breakdown of those figures, how are we going to go about getting just that we leave the meeting and we don't expect, may not be your responsibility specifically, but TBCS as a group to provide that breakdown, but specifically from Fed House, so that we understand your challenges and your members' challenges and then try to drive the issue from our side. Breakdown of the outstanding payments from the different government departments. The other, I just wanted to make emphasize my point on domestic tourism. In order for us to do our oversight responsibility of SAT, we need to make sure that industry is also benefiting from SAT's marketing campaign, which currently is focusing on domestic tourism. The decline in foreign arrivals because of perceptions around visa regulations and various other issues creates an opportunity for, I would imagine, a critical component of the domestic marketing campaign, which would be the hospitality sector, to get more heads on pillows or bodies and beds. I'm not sure what the industry catchphrase is. So, you know, in the business of making money, obviously, but what's the balance between getting heads on pillows, bums and beds, bodies and beds, versus the... Buns and beds, there we go. Versus the rates, and what, you know, you're not going to lower your rates, well then, what is the balance between getting the occupancy rates up and the length of the domestic tourism strategy that SAT has in place? I don't know if you guys have a specific strategy on that, to try and align what you're doing to up your occupancy rate.
Thank you, Honourable Ford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sure, I'm leaving this meeting with obviously a new catchphrase, bums in bed. I think that's quite nice. Friday, I'm thinking about lots of other things. Okay, now that's clearly on that. Madam Chair, I forgot to mention, but my colleague has raised the issue of domestic tourism, and we've seen domestic tourism decline over the last 3 years, something to the effect of 3 million. If you compare over the last 3 years, I think it comes to a striking number of 3 million. But in any case, the two biggest issues in our country affordability and limited geographic spread. Now, we're going to deal with limited geographic spread through a couple of initiatives that will be rolled out in terms of investment in rural tourism development, etc., etc. But the affordability issue is a big hurdle for South Africans to travel and experience our country. And I know that the short left and various other initiatives or campaigns in the past try to promote domestic tourism, but you can promote it and market it, but if the affordability issue is still the major hindrance, then you still suck. Get people to move around and so on. And we know that hotel rates are very expensive, and we've heard the chairman, Mr. Cordell, say that, you know, there's more promotion than dropping price when you deal with the seasonality issue, etc. But, you know, I'm sure that this discussion is taking place within Pedas as well, the affordability issue, because it is very expensive to stay over in hotels. And I know there's drive to look at budget travel. I know that the previous Minister of Tourism has, in 2013, come across some documentation where they were looking into budget travel or budget accommodation. And I don't think the NDT has made any headway on that, and I'm going to still deal with that issue at the next opportunity, because I feel that that's a missed opportunity. But I know that you are protecting the industry and that you're looking out for hotels and B&Bs, etc., etc. So obviously it's a business-driven industry. But what type of discussions are taking place? I'm just curious to know, within Fedada, because we're all dying as a country to move forward and to get going on the various strategic objectives, that's specifically what's contained in the NDC. This is one of those key issues. So, are there any discussions within Fedada about the affordability issue on accommodation, etc.? I'm just curious to know, because it's a good engagement, and I think it's quite useful to know if there are any of those type of discussions happening in the room.
And on number four, a quick response to the COSA, because we know the committee is passionate about travel within our country, domestic travel. We are passionate about it. And we would like you you are a national trade association, to enhance the passion of us.
Through you, Chair. I do not want to give a political answer, but I think it's important that we note that we've seen our members, and if I may single out probably two organizations, Dignity Lodge and Dogasa. Both those groups, Madam Chair, they have Citizens got 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars, and I think the star rating gives even an indication of the rate. There are budget hotels around the country. For example, the Sun One, which is more of an entry level. I think some of the rates is about 400 rand. And can accommodate 3 people when they're traveling. Now, if you don't want to stay in a 1-star, 2-star hotel, don't pick up the high season. And this is what I've been saying. Quite a number of meetings. They ask for a special rate in Delhi, in Kenya, during the high season. What do we call high season? It is the Easter weekend. It is school holidays during the Decembers of this world. It will be morally unfair for me as a chairman to pick up the phone and phone the CEO of City Lodge and say, can you give me a special rate? Even during Indah period in Devon, there's no such a thing like that. What we call yield management in our sector. This is about maximizing. That's the same thing. I'm sitting next to Mr. Ross in the same aircraft. He paid 1,000 rand and I paid 3,000. It's because of the yield management, Chairman. The question is, if we want to increase the domestic travelers, how best can we structure this? It is a conversation which we can have. I want to believe that
The previous minister once raised this issue. And it somehow, somewhere, we spoke of 1 million room nights. And it was discussed in detail by ourselves. 1 million room nights, it needed us to partner with the government. And there was a small cost attached to that. Unfortunately, it dropped out. And our interest was to assist with precisely getting our people to know our country. I used to work here at Green Market Square as one of the managers. For a year and I took my staff for a year and a half. Would you believe that some of the people living here in Cape Town, the middle plains of this world, when I took them for a drive via Hot Bay into Chapman Street, came back by Newton Bay. They started crying because they have not been in that group. Now, does it mean that the hotel industry needs to give free rooms? Is that what you're expecting? I think the answer to that, I don't think so. However, I think we are more than willing to say, what are the requirements? For example, the educative program. We started somewhere. Now, how bad can we start this? If we say somebody can get a room at the price of XYZ endeavor, how is it going to be administered? To make sure that we don't give this person a room who is a potential customer and has been a regular at a lower rate. We have the checks and balances. Is this something which we need to work on and we partner with the government? Who's going to pay for the rent? Who are our target markets? Are we getting the pensioners to travel? Are we getting the middle class to travel? Who do we want to occupy the rooms? Notwithstanding that traditionally, for the black person, when city lodge gives me a holiday, I'm going home to the to go build my house. Because my wife is there. That has been the system. You know that. Now, what does it mean to say a decoder take a week and go to Durban and go to Cape Town and go this places? 99% of that, irrespective of how much is it, they will say, no, I will take money, I should have bought a bed. Do we need to be very practical? Who are we targeting? To say what? And I say that to my mother that I'm going to Durban. But that we will done. What are you going to do? Put a van in a plan. And that money which you are going to sleep at a city lodge, you could have bought a block. Because from Simbi, I want us to be practical, chairperson. I don't want to live here with some theoretical things. I want to know, when you say domestic tourism, and I'm talking about the masses. I'm telling you right now, before you can get somebody to travel to Devon and stay at the city lodge at one rent, they will tell you that, what am I going to eat? We are there very much in Afna Kudala. There's no food here at all. We need to be very practical about some of the things which you're talking about here. In the process, the time will come, and people will travel, but let's continue, let's work together. That is my view. I don't want to go to this guy and say, they will make the route available, but who's going to travel? At what rate? Who's going to pay the cost of transport? Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Chair Pedicosa. You know, we have to take hands and we have to pursue this goal of domestic travel. That's a fact. We can't let that go. That should be our combined vision. And there has to be a switch of the thought of our people, especially our black people, yes, black people. So thank you for your input. And by the way, send us the facts, please, as soon as possible.
sorry, Chair, if I may just answer the question which you've just asked and would ask by the Honourable Whitfield earlier. Stamps in our industry are quite scarce. And the reason why I say that, certainly when I talk industry, I'm now talking the full hospitality, the full tourism industry. Certainly on the hospitality side, when it comes to hotels, I think everybody is absolutely terrified of having to face the wrath at some stage of the Competition Commission because they've overstepped the line. So to get any information out of anybody with regards to what are their occupancies, what are the rates that they're achieving, etc., is an absolute impossibility. What we have done as an industry is we have been approached by a company called SDR Global, like Smith Travel Research, who do industry stats around the world. So therefore, it's not directed at any particular hotel group or anything like that. They collect stats from around the world, and the stats are effectively anonymous. They put them into star ratings, and these are the stats that we get back. And currently, in South Africa, on STR Global, we represent 44,000 rooms in the industry. Now, we know that this industry is very, very much bigger than 44,000 bedrooms. I think the figure is probably close to 200,000 bedrooms. So the figures which we're getting and which are being forwarded through to STR Global, we are the major group in South Africa and the major hotels, individual hotels such as the Westin, the Sheraton, the Hyatt, the Hilton, and people like that. So when we get our stats from STR Global, right, they arrive in the format of what was the industry occupancy for a particular month, and then what was the occupancy and rate achieved in the 5-star segment, the 4-star segment, and the 3-star segment. Now, the reason why we only go that far is because there aren't sufficient players in the other market segments. So that if they do produce a figure in one of those segments, if you play in that segment, you would be able to know immediately what your competitor is doing. So therefore, competitive advantage would just disappear. So we can give figures, but as I say, only of 44,000 rooms in the industry. And it's these figures which I know we are always being quoted, certainly by listed companies, because that's the only stats which we have. Through TDCSA, and it's one of the new strategic opportunities which we're looking at the moment, is to try and get the other stats. Stats from the car hire companies, stats from the tour operators, stats from hotels, stats from everywhere, to see whether we can come up with some kind of statistical data which can direct decisions which need to be made. That's a long story to answer the question. If you would like the industry stats from SDR Global, they are allowed to be released, but only a month after they've been released to those participants who participate in the study. And the January ones have just come out, and the January ones, as I said earlier, are showing a 4% decline in occupancy for the month of January. And I think we go into February, which will be coming out by the 20th of March, we're going to find it probably is continuing. So there is an effect, but as to what that effect is, how many room nights it represents, what kind of money it represents, I don't know whether we are able to crystallize out that kind of information, unfortunately.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Kosa, there was another request for the outstanding payments for government departments. If you you must thus supply the committee with that space, please.
If I may just have a minute here. We have just been through a process, an industry process, together with Treasury. In order to, I think, for Treasury to understand the magnitude of the problem which our industry is facing at the moment, because it is not just a problem for the hotel sector. It's a problem for car hire, it's a problem for airlines, it's a problem for tour operators, it's a problem for everybody. That process has just been finalized after, as I say, probably about six to eight months of meetings, where a document is being sent to Treasury. So Treasury would have an indication of what those outstanding amounts are for the industry.
Thank you, sir. It would be if of value if the committee could have a presentation also. Because we are one of the departments of this government, and we can also liaise with Treasury. So, Fedara, thank you very much. I hope that's not the last engagement, but Secretary, will there be another engagement in the year? Probably next year. But thank you very much for your engagement, and it's going well with tourism. You are our partners, and we want to advance tourism as a job creator in this country and for our people's sake. Thank you. There's some refreshments outside. Please enjoy some of them. Committee, can we go on, or would you like a 5 minutes break? Let's fresh. And we see you next week. Thank you very much. Thank you for the support stuff also.
Everybody.